And we are back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell. Love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports as we continue to go around the horn with our very own Andy Pondillo as we continue to break down the spring training preview, burning questions for each and every team. I think one of the hottest questions coming into the season is Alex Rodriguez's return to the Yankees. My question to you, Andy P, what are your expectations?
Well, let's first see if that hip can stay healthy and see if the Yankees even want to keep him through a regular season. You know, they went and got Chase Headley, so Chase is probably your starting third baseman. Teixeira, you know, can he have 600 at-bats again? There's a lot of question marks on this Yankee team, so I think things will work themselves out. As for A-Rod, I mean, I don't know if he's really welcome anywhere. That $275 million contract, you talk about that one coming back to bite you. And the Yankees when they re-upped him. So I don't know what to expect out of A-Rod, to be honest. I think he could be terrible and he could be off the team in less than a month. I think that, you know, maybe he could still hit 260 and hit 16 or 17 home runs. And at that rate, hey, he might be semi-productive batting number six in the order.
Of course, the Yankees last year in 2014, 84-78, second in the AL East. And I think one of the big storylines coming into this season is the durability. It really remains an issue. I mean, can this starting rotation, can they hold up, Andy?
Well, the first question is definitely going to be CC Sabathia, and he put his weight back on again. And his weight goes up and down like a roller coaster. He lost it all, you know, a couple years ago. He said he stopped eating a box of Captain Crunch after the game, so I guess he's back to the captain again. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to make him any more durable. I felt like he was able to carry that weight and be effective when he was younger in his career, but, you know, you get older, things start to break down. You're not as durable. So I don't know. I mean, this rotation, I think this could be a pretty rough year for the Yankees.
Yeah, a lot of question marks, no doubt about that. One of the things I want to talk to you about, Andy, is the pace of play arguments. What are you hearing, and perhaps what is your stance on that?
Well, I think there's some slight measures that could be done. I like that they're telling the batters to keep a foot inside the box. There's no need for them to go run 5 feet away from the batter's box, do five practice swings, and come back in. As for the pitch clock that they're talking about, I don't like that at all. I know they're going to try it out. I know it had some success in the Arizona Fall League. And for the most part, I think pitchers actually do deliver the ball within the amount of time. There will be some negative repercussions that really affect the game of baseball, though, with the clock. First off, you don't have clocks in baseball. You know, second, when a pitcher's holding the ball on the mound with runners on base, there's a reason he's sitting there holding the ball, is to disrupt the timing of the base runner. If he's holding that ball and you see that clock clicking down 3, 2, 1, I have a theory that that runner can start timing the clock and just get monster jumps off of these pitchers because they know they're probably delivering the ball to home plate if they haven't tried to throw to first already, they haven't stepped off already. So I'm just not a fan of instituting that rule. As for trying to get these games back to like 2.5 hours like they used to be in the old days, I don't know if there's one concrete way to do it. I think that you just get these players on the field quicker, you get them to stay in the box. There's probably slight measures, but it's just a game of baseball, and it is what it is. It's a long game, it's a long season, and it's just going to be hard for, you know, even some of the biggest fans to sit there and watch all 162 games, but baseball has always been like that. It's kind of funny to me that it seems like this is a new concept for people. Yes, the games have gotten longer, and they're doing some measures to fix that, but it's not going to fix everything.
It is our MLB preview tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell as we are in the strike zone with our very own Andy Pondillo as he is breaking it all down. And obviously one of the hot topics, too, is MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. He's talking about shortening the season. I mean, we've heard this discussion even in the NBA, but wow, the MLB, I mean, I can certainly understand it from their perspective.
I can, but there's too many traditionalists in baseball. When you change the season, you change the records, and then there's going to be this huge old discussion. Also, if you change it, then you're almost essentially losing money. They think maybe condense the season, more people show up to games because there's, you know, less of them. You just put them all in a shorter amount of games. So I've heard the theories. I think it's all rubbish. I don't think it's happening. You take it down to 154. What difference does 162 and 154 really mean to the normal person? It's just, you know, it's an extra week. The only thing that would really make sense is if they added a playoff round. But then you have a whole other discussion. They would make the playoff round, the wild card round, like a 3-game series. So then you make that a series, and then the teams that win the division, they're waiting a week and a half to play a game, and then you're going to have another whole group of people to come out and complain about that. They're going to get ice cold. So someone's going to complain no matter what he does. I like it the way it is. I don't think it needs to be changed.
Do you think the MLB, though, is having an injury crisis like the NBA? Because we've seen so many megastars in the NBA that are sitting on the pine, and they need to be out there, and that, you know, shortchanges the fan.
Well, the pitchers definitely do, and I've had my theories about that. That goes back to youth sports. I think there's a problem with the way pitchers are handled, that you can pitch a little league game and then go play shortstop right after you're done throwing 75 pitches. No, you should be on the sideline. You should be in the dugout icing up your shoulder. You don't play shortstop. You don't take 5 at-bats after you've done that. You don't play another game. When you're pitching, you're done. That is the wrong way to handle a pitcher. And then the other thing they do is they play year-round. You have to have an off-season. You know, I blame a lot of these injuries we're seeing on guys that are 23, 24 years old. I don't think it's how they're being handled at the major league level. I don't think it's the pitch count. I don't think it's the workload in the minor leagues. My theory is strictly it's the things you do as a kid while your arm's developing, they come back to play a big factor later in your life.
Those formative years are so critical, aren't they?
Very critical. And I'm not a doctor. I can't prove it. You know, everybody with the arm injuries in baseball has their own theory with the elbow injuries. That's my theory. I think it's youth is what I really look to.
Hey, we are quickly running out of time with our Andy Pondillo at YSR. Quickly, talk to us about the San Diego Padres. 77-85, third in the NL West last year in 2014. What's your optimism about this team?
I think the team's definitely above 500. I don't know if they're as good as some of the analysts may think they are, but they're moving in the right direction, and that's the key. As exciting as it would be for San Diego fans to win the division this year, and that's got to be the goal. You don't tell your team it's anything different. I feel like a solid season for them would be to get to 84, 85 wins. You know, they got James Shields now. They have Andrew Cashner in that rotation. They do have a lot of pieces in place. I don't think they're a division-winning team yet. And one thing that's going to scare me, their offense is going to take a huge jump. But you look at their outfield situation where you have, you know, Justin Upton now, Matt Kemp, Will Myers. Can any of these guys truly play a good center field? Are any of these guys very rangy? That's a big field they're playing in Petco Park. I kind of get scared about the offensive or the defensive range in the outfield. Otherwise, the offense should be solid. The starting pitching should be above league average, and you know, at least there'll be some fun out there in San Diego.
What about the outfield offense? I mean, do you see some upgrades there?
Oh, that's going to be incredible if everything plays out there.
Right.
The problem is they're playing at Petco Park, and we've seen numerous hitters that go to Petco Park and their home runs magically disappear. Ryan Kolesko would be the first one to make
that?
A statement about that. It's has to do with the marine layer and the air, and you know, I'm getting a little too scientific for what I mean. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's what they tell me on the telecast. And then also it's just the dimensions of the field. It's a spacious field. Left center is deep. Goes out to right center pretty deep. Down the lines, it's fair, but just never seems like the ball carries very well there. And you almost just got to hit the ball out on a line. Because for those types of parks, seems like when you hit them really high, you go for those towering home runs, when they get high up in the air, it seems like they just get knocked down. So if you're playing in the NL West and you're a hitter, if you want to win games, you probably want to go to the Giants, probably want to go to the Dodgers, you know, maybe even now the Padres. But if you want to have offensive statistics, you can go to the organizations such as the Rockies and Diamondbacks and play up in the mountains and just jack balls like nothing.
Right, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're completely out of time. Just give me one more quick hit. Talk to me about who is the real Matt Kemp. I mean, what is he going to show us? I mean, last year he had a very strong second half in 2014, but he missed 145 games in the 2012-2013 season.
You know, a lot of people are down on Matt Kemp, but if there was one true hitter in the Dodgers lineup, that's Matt Kemp. This guy is an athlete. He plays the full game when he's healthy. He's obviously not a center fielder anymore. People talk about his effort. You know, maybe he gets new life going to San Diego. He was the guy for the Dodgers just a couple years ago. People talk about him being the best player in the National League. Now he gets a rebirth. He has a new position. He's got to embrace it. You know, he's had trouble before embracing playing the corner outfield. He wants to be that guy in center. He wants to be the guy that does everything. He can be the main guy at this Padres offense. He can be the guy that gets the Padres back to the promised land. They're going to need him big time, and I still think that he's got the talent to be able to put up MVP caliber seasons, at least offensively.
It'll be very exciting to watch. Thank you so much, Andy, for joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. We look forward to more reports as the weeks go on. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, our Andy Pondillo is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. We will be right back.